Father, pour out your Holy Spirit that we might know you and have faith in you and learn to live by faith, even when it seems you're sleeping in our daily lives. Thank you for this great scripture, and we commit our sermon series on Jesus during Lent into your hands. We ask this in your name. Amen. Please be seated. We are going to be looking at the life of Jesus, the life and faith of Jesus during Lent. How did he live? How did he walk? How can we learn to know him better during this time of Lent? Many of you will know, we just got back, 28 of us, from Israel on Friday night. We were seeing the land where Jesus walked and learning about what it was like to live in the time of Jesus. As it turned out, it ended up being a living Bible tour. No, we did not practice crucifixion in Jerusalem, but on our Sea of Galilee day, we had quite an adventure. A little disclaimer here, I was sick in bed back at the hotel, so this story is now secondhand. You'll have to ask one of the folks who were there, but a pretty remarkable story. After lunch in Galilee, we take a boat ride out on the Sea of Galilee, and we read this scripture, and we talk about what it would have been like to be with Jesus out on a boat. Well, at this particular time, after the reading and then some singing and dancing, that's a whole nother long story, it had been a rainy day, and that dust storm that you'd heard about that had come up from the Sahara that was blowing through Israel was pretty thick. And it was just one of those days where anything can happen. And sure enough, as the music stopped, one of these famous around the Sea of Galilee windstorms kicked in, and literally a 60 or 70 mile an hour gust slammed this 50-foot boat. And Grayson, my daughter, had actually bet one of the guys, I think Griffin on the trip, that the boat would actually tip. And sure enough, the boat tipped over. And it was a pretty tense moment, because here we are in the Sea of Galilee, and you can see, literally, it happens that these storms come up. And our captain, T.J. Anderson, got to explain to everybody else what the captain was doing. T.J. was a captain in the Navy. And sure enough, the captain of the boat steered the boat into the wind and then quickly made toward the shore. But it was one of those experiences where, if you can see, if you were in an 18 or 20-foot boat and a 60 or 70-mile-an-hour wind comes out whipping down off of Mount Hermon, it's a pretty tense experience. We laughed about it. It was kind of one of those, it would be kind of scary to be on a small boat and wondering what was going on with one of these winds coming down. So just on a side note, it was quite a moment for our tour in Israel as we were living the Bible, so to speak. Well, as we look at Jesus in this story here in Luke chapter 8, I wonder, do not storms blow into our lives as quickly as that wind gust came down off the mountains onto the Sea of Galilee? Storms hit suddenly, they're powerful, and I wonder if you've ever been in a storm and it seems like Jesus is sleeping. You ever ask that question? Jesus, where are you in this particular storm? Mark adds this, the Mark version adds this. The disciples actually say to Jesus, "Don't you care if we drown?" Like, don't you care? I think that's maybe the heart cry of many of us who've been through storms and wondering why Jesus seemed to be sleeping. Interesting that Jesus responds with a question of his own. He doesn't say, "Of course I care for you." He doesn't give a disclaimer or whatnot. He comes back to him and says, "Where's your faith? Do you really think I'm going to let you drown? I called you, invited you to the boat. You think I'm going to let you drown? What's the answer?" We did. We actually did. Yeah. Raise the hand. We think you were going to let us drown. All the evidence pointed to you not caring, you're asleep, and us drowning. We were dying, you were sleeping. Yeah, we didn't have much faith. So the question is, what can we learn about Jesus? What can we learn about his faith and putting faith in Jesus from the story? Here are a couple things. Take a look at the text, Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. First, the disciples didn't, I don't think, realize that having Jesus in the boat made all the difference. They didn't realize that with Jesus in the boat, it made all the difference. A few years ago, you might have heard that the Washington Post did an experiment. I love this experiment. They hired a guy to play the violin for 45 minutes in a random metro stop. People, for the most part, absolutely ignored him. He had his little case open for money. He ended up making in 45 minutes $35, $20 of which came from an old woman who said she just felt sorry for him. Okay? So playing the violin for 15 minutes or for 45 minutes, he basically made $15. What was the big deal? Well, the guy playing the violin was named Joshua Bell. He was playing a $3.5 million Stradivarius violin, handmade violin. He makes $1,000 a minute playing the violin. And the people had no idea. They just walked by. Average ticket price to hear Joshua play is $150. And here he was. You see, it's the same with the disciples. They didn't know who was in the boat with them. They'd seen miracles, and yet they didn't know the difference that Jesus could make in the storms of life. And without the knowledge that it was Jesus in the boat, they reacted in fear and panic. You see, having Jesus in the boat is a game changer. You might have tough circumstances. Storms will still come, but it will give you a different perspective. Can you imagine if they thought to themselves, now wait a minute, this is the creator of the whole universe. We've seen him do incredible miracles. And I know it looks like he's going to let us drown, but we know death has no hold on him. Therefore, let's enjoy the ride. Let's see how this one's going to end. Let's see if he actually is going to wake up. Let's see how he reacts. Let's see what he says. You see, faith is being sure of what you hope for, that we'll get out of this storm alive, and certain of what we can't see. We know he cares about us. We know he invited us into the boat, and then he's not going to let us down. I'll never forget being called into ministry. Thought I was going to go into business, called into ministry. My first church experience got off to a rocky start, basically because I was young and immature. And I remember thinking, okay, wait a minute. Jesus, you called me into this, and you knew what you were getting. I've been praying to you for 6 months. Church is a little rocky. I'm going to trust that you can get me out of this and you can, redeem the church situation because you called me into this. This wasn't of my own making. I wonder if the disciples, in reflecting on this, especially after Jesus' death and resurrection, when most of them died, or if not all of them, died for their faith, if they had to learn a lesson here in the storm. Despite what the circumstances look like, it's Jesus who's in the boat. Jesus is still in control, even when it looks like he's sleeping. So here's the question. Is Jesus in your boat? Not, are you going through storms of life, or is he sleeping? The question is he in your boat? Are you doing life with Christ? When the storms hit, is Jesus in your boat? Because if he's in your boat, it's a game changer. You'll still have tough situations, but you'll see them differently. Many of you know that last March, I went to the hospital in Houston. I was traveling and had to spend a week in Houston having surgery. This past trip in Israel, I got sick again. I was pretty discouraged. I was lying in my bed for a day and a half while everyone else was out there. And I started recounting in my mind the things that I learned in Houston. And I got to be honest with you, I had an actually pretty amazing day and a half in a hotel by myself. Reading scripture, praying. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to react differently. I've seen God be faithful in the past. Even though it seems like this is a total nightmare, I'm going to react differently. I'm going to trust Christ, even though I can't hear him speak. There's no audible voice to redeem the situation. And he did. When Jesus is in the boat, it changes your perspective on your circumstances. Secondly, I think the disciples misinterpreted Jesus sleeping for not caring. They assumed his silence means that he didn't care. Remember, he was in as much danger as they were, correct? As a matter of fact, you might even say, Jesus, what are you thinking entrusting yourself to these clowns who have to sail the boat, you know? So he was in double whammy. Like, they could at least do something and work on the boat. He was trusting them and the fact that the storm wouldn't kill them. You notice that in the scriptures, we learned this firsthand these last 2 weeks, that Jesus doesn't come and live in a palace or take a life of comfort. He's using his power and authority to make a life easier for himself. He's experiencing the storms of life just as like they were and just as like you and I do. yet with a faith and a trust and a peace so absent from the disciples and so absent from us. If you knew in a year's time you would be crucified on a cross, how would you be living? And yet Jesus knew that's where he was going. And there was a peace and even a joy and a calmness about his life. Jesus is worthy of our faith because he has walked where we walked. He's experienced the challenges we faced and lived in the midst of storms. But he did it differently. He has absolute perfect faith in his heavenly Father at all times. And he demonstrates his power not by getting rid of all the storms, but by living through them in a way that teaches us we can trust him. This is the answer to the disciples' questions. Don't you care, Jesus, about what's going on in my life? Jesus replies, I care enough as a king to walk where you walk, to face what you face, to be in a boat with you and show you you can trust me. Being with Jesus in your boat doesn't make your life easier, but it teaches us that he cares enough to be in the boat with us and to face what we face. He gets it. He knows what we're going through. His sleeping is not non-caring. Thirdly, I don't think the disciples realized that Jesus had the power over the wind and the waves. How could this be, you say? We've seen him do incredible miracles, cast out demons, supernatural stuff. But you notice their question there? Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. The disciples didn't realize that Jesus had power over everything. They had a limited view of his authority, just like us. What area of your life do you not think, because of either his silence or the storm so great, that Jesus does not have power over? Your emotional health. Nope. Not strong enough for Jesus. Too strong for Jesus. Your finances. Your peace. Your children. Your work. Your future. They were shocked that he had power over the wind and the waves. Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? We have such a limited view of God's authority and power. We put him on a shelf and we go through our days, and then when the storms hit, we're shocked. We're surprised and we're unprepared. We're unprepared when the storms hit because our life is not integrated. The power of Jesus is not integrated into our perspective. We don't know how to call upon him. We don't know how to expect him to use his power to actually work in the storms we're in. In this storm, Jesus is teaching his disciples that he has power everywhere, all the time, over everything. Have you ever experienced the faithfulness and power of Christ in the practical details of your life? It was probably in a storm. It was probably in a storm, because when life was going so well, you didn't even bother calling out. You didn't care whether he had authority or power or not, because you didn't need it. But it was probably in the storm. I love the fact the disciples woke up Jesus and they were real. What is your problem, Jesus? Why aren't you working here? He works first, then he challenges them. You see, we learn that Jesus has power in the storm. I lost my cell phone, or it was stolen in Israel. I haven't gotten it back. There's no happy ending to this story other than the fact that I was going to go through Lent without a phone. I thought that would make life really easy. Until Grace reminded me, no, you're just going to annoy a whole bunch of people who can't get a hold of you. Don't put them through that Lenten discipline. He didn't return my cell phone. But I've been thinking about it. Okay, total hassle. A lot of stuff on there. I didn't have a passcode. I'm an idiot. I don't know how to use a phone. So someone has access to everything in my life. I got to change everything from bank accounts. You know what? Lord, would you bless the guy who stole my phone? Maybe he needed it more than I did. Will you work in this situation even though it's a total hassle? You see, we learn to trust Christ and we realize he's got power over the details in the storm when we see him working. So when he doesn't work exactly how we want, we can say, you know what? Faith is being certain of what we hope for and sure of what we do not see. I'm certain that God is here with me, that he's got power over my circumstances, that he's good and he will work out what is best. As we go through Lent, I want to ask, do you have faith in Jesus Christ? And the way you can answer that question is, how are you going through the storm? That's how you answer. Just look, how are you going through the storm? Storms are not fun. Storms are not enjoyable. We don't like them. But Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, where is your faith? Do you really think I'm going to let you die? Yeah, we do actually think you're going to let us die. Well, remember where he was going? To the cross. He said, I'll even take death for you. The worst that could happen out here on the Sea of Galilee to you is that you could die. But you know what? It's not so bad. Why? Because I'm going to go before you. I'm going to die for you so you don't have to. So the worst case scenario is death. I've got that handled, that covered. Trust me. Jesus cares enough to invite you into the boat with him. Will you do life with Christ? He cares enough that we can now learn and not misinterpret his silence or his sleeping. It doesn't mean he doesn't care. And we can learn to trust him to know that he has the power in everything to do whatever he wants. And sometimes he will come like he did with fireworks and calm the sea immediately. And other times, like he did with the disciples, he'll make us wait. Sometimes for years and decades and say, trust me. Jesus beat the greatest storm, death, so he could go with us through it in the end. In the meantime, let us learn to trust Christ, to have his faith and peace in the circumstances of life, that we may be assured of the hope that he gives us and certain of what we can't see now, that Christ is in our boat, has the power, and will lead us safely to the other side. Let us pray. Jesus, we confess as we begin Lent, many of us don't recognize you in our lives. We confess that we accuse you of not caring and we misinterpret your silence. And we confess that we don't believe you have the power to work and overcome the challenges of our lives. God, we are like the disciples. And we hear you saying, where is your faith? Father, open our eyes. Teach us to trust in you, to walk with joy and peace through the storms of life, and to see how you're going to use them to build our faith and build your kingdom. Do a work by your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.